This is Blurring the Lines with Adam Bell and Peter Nicolaitis, IT entrepreneurs. Adam and Peter take on the topics of technology, business, life, and the pursuit of happiness and blur them together in the 21st century.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening. Welcome to the Blurring the Lines podcast. This is episode number 232. And I am your host, Adam Bell. And joining me as always is my excellent co-host, Peter.
Please hold. BTL, remote, recording.
All right. Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening. Welcome to the Blurring the Lines podcast. This is episode number 232. And I am your host, Adam Bell. And joining me as always is my excellent co-host, Peter Nicolaitis. Hey, no, Peter.
You raised the bar today. Now I have to be excellent.
Get to be excellent. Well, I mean, we were subpar last time, so we'll be excellent this time.
Fair enough. Yeah. I did just sluck on a cough drop right now, just FYI, because as I was saying before we started recording, I was sitting outside on the back deck because it's actually beautiful. We had a heat wave, you know, the heat dome came across Boston a couple of days ago. And it was 103 here for a day. And I did go running that day.
Oh, you Although were up for punishment.
Well, I went early. I left at like 7:30 in the morning. So I was out before it got up to 90. It was only in the 80s. So yeah, that was fun. But you know, I did a little over 7 miles 2 days in a row. Took yesterday off. And as soon as, let's see, I've got one meeting after this, and then I'll be going and shooting for 14 and a half miles this afternoon.
Nice.
There you go.
There you go. I ride my bicycle right beside you.
I used to do that with Charlie, my running coach, when he was rooming with me for a few months. We would go running. You know, he would go running in the same place where I'm going to go, and I would ride my mountain bike beside him. And the funny thing is, on average, we were pretty close. In fact, usually he had to stop and wait for me because the climbs on some of the trails he was going were not officially for mountain bikes.
Ah, okay.
So there were places where, you know, I know, yes, there are plenty of people who can ride these things. I'm not one of them. So, you know, I just had to stop and get out and walk it and stuff. So. Mm-hmm. But not today. Well, I will walk some of them today too, actually. Mm-hmm. So because I am an ultra runner, and ultra running is one part running, one part walking, and one part eating.
There you go. You got to do them, a couple of them at the same time.
Sometimes, yes. But not all three.
Not all three. No, no. And defecating at some point.
I don't do that while
while you're doing not, any of those three.
No. No. Nope. Not at the same time. Maybe while vomiting perhaps. Yeah. I'm not too. keep going. Okay.
Keep going.
I got this.
Oh, so fitness updates. I got a couple questions for you there. So this week, you know, I'm going to Mexico. I lead a trip there for 10 days, and I'm not hurt right now, and I didn't want to get hurt, so I didn't go to CrossFit the week leading up to Mexico, just because I don't need to strain something before, because it's a physically demanding trip. I'm going to be working the whole time. I'm going to be walking the whole time. I'm in charge. You know, I mean, people are looking at me for responsibility. I need to not be injured. So it's probably a weenie way, but I didn't do any CrossFit this week. But what I did do was I did high intensity workouts on YouTube. And there's a number of men and women that have those workouts. And I aimed for really between 10 and 12 minute workouts, enough to really get something done, but not, you know, not a 30 minute marathon workout. And so that worked out pretty good. I actually feel pretty good this week, and I didn't hurt anything.
Your workout worked out.
my workout worked out.
I well, like when workouts work out.
But I'm also nursing my knee injury. And so I was being real careful not to agitate that. So everything I did it very intentionally, like lunges.
Yeah.
Like some of them are like jumping lunges. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do a gentle jumping lunge.
Now, it makes me wonder, should we not always be training like that?
Not to get injured, you mean?
Yeah.
Well,
like in a methodical, well, I mean, it's going to have repercussions, right?
Yes. Yes.
It's hard to go all out, but I'm just wondering, like, when shouldn't we do that? You know, competing, racing, maybe, you know?
Yeah. I think competing is about the only time when you would go all out. And I think it has to matter.
Bingo.
Not just competing, but it's competing and it matters. Like if you and I were racing to be the number one in all of the earth, you know, we're both going to go all out.
Yes.
but if you're like, well, this time I'm going to beat my personal time. I'm like, hey, so am I. Okay. We both win.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. It's like, is you have to choose, like, when are you competing? When does it make sense to be competing and going all out? And your average training run should not do that, or training whatever. Mm-hmm. My Krav Maga instructor used to make a big deal about that, you know, during training. It's like, you know, control, focus, right? You're not just wailing on everybody as hard as you can. You know, you're trying to learn precision and accuracy and endurance, building that muscle memory. Mm-hmm. So similarly, you know, I've been a little disappointed that my speeds don't feel like what they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a couple of years ago. But I'm also paying more attention to things like heart rate and deliberately going more slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay. But, you know, my best friend just went out and did, you know, a sub 1 hour, a 59 minute 10K yesterday.
Oh, nice.
I don't remember the last time I did that. I think it was 2022, maybe 20. Yeah, probably 2022, because I could do it. Mm-hmm. But that was before I paid any attention. I was just, you know, my strategy was just run hard.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I just ran hard, didn't pay any attention to keeping my heart rate down or up or left, right, or whatever. I just run hard. That's all I would do.
Mm-hmm.
So now I don't generally do that unless it's a speed day. And honestly, between you, me, and our listeners, I don't have a ton of speed days in my workouts. Every now and then, like if I go meet with a running group,
mm-hmm.
like on a Monday night or a Wednesday night, and I'm towards the beginning of the pack and they're moving pretty quickly, that might turn into my speed day.
Yeah.
You know, just keeping up with them. And for me, that's in like, you know, in the eights on a really, really fast mile.
Yeah.
But you know, in the, like the 9:30s or so, that's speedy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm doing like my goal, when I'm doing my long runs or my tall, you know, mountains and hills and stuff, is 4 miles per hour. If I can beat 4 miles per hour, I'm good. Generally, because that's the cutoff for most of my races.
Okay.
That's a 15-minute mile.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very fast.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, in all fairness, when I'm by myself, I don't go nearly as hard as if you and I were going. And I'm not talking about dangerous. I mean, we're not talking about like getting out of control where you're losing form, losing whatever, but I generally do perform a little bit better when others are around me, kind of holding me accountable. Cause I like to aim for 70%, you know, like if I get done with a run and I don't have any of that feeling, like that lightness in your lungs to where you were breathing hard, you were getting a lot of air, a lot of in and out. If I don't feel like I did that, I'm like, oh, I really didn't run as hard as I should have. But I'm not running like you are, where you were, you know, 13, 14 miles where you've got to track heart rate and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. It's different when I run with somebody, you know, like I remember one of the last times I ran with Coach Charlie, he wanted to just go out and just do a recovery run. You know, that's supposed to be like, you know, maybe zone two, low zone two, real low. And we did like 7 minutes. The first mile was seven something, and the average was like 7:55 or something for like a 5K or 4 miles or something like that. And that was just because I was just so stoked to be running with my buddy and my coach again that I was, you know, I wasn't slowing down. And that was dumb.
You paid for it.
Yeah, there you go.
So cool. So then, but like the, those HIIT workouts, they're pretty good. And low impact. Yeah. A lot of them. That's good. So I asked you if you had tried, mushroom coffee and you said you had, Fortomatic. Yep. So I'm trying Rise, and you know, honestly, I'm not a fan of mushrooms of any sort of fungus in general. I mean, things like penicillin I know are good, you know, but for the most part, I don't know. I just have this, I wouldn't say a phobia. I mean, it's just like an aversion to anything fungus. Like I eat mushrooms on my pizza. I like mushrooms. I mean, but they're pretty benign. But when you start talking about, and I do like portobello mushrooms. I mean, most culinary, regular mainstream mushrooms, I kind of like those. But when you start talking about other weird mushrooms and we're going to brew it and drink it, that just makes me think I'm, you know, going to go, what kind of strange trip are we going to be on? You know, what if somebody accidentally got the wrong mushroom in there and now I can feel colors?
I can feel colors. Okay. I think, but the question is, can you taste them?
Can you taste the colors? I don't know.
Yes. So I do like mushrooms. I eat mushrooms, you know, portobellos especially. Mm-hmm. I also take cordyceps for energy. Okay. And I just started doing that again. I took a little bit of a lull, but I do remember in 2022 when I was training for my first ultra, you know, it was hot. Like it had been in that heat wave. It was like really, really super hot, bad hot. Mm-hmm. And I was out there for hours at a time in 90 plus degree, you know, heat and humidity. Mm-hmm. And I was running, you know, it wasn't pleasant, but I had the energy. I was getting up early, going out and doing my runs and stuff. So the only thing that really significantly changed at the time was I started eating cordyceps every morning. Mm-hmm. So I've started doing that again now. I'm experimenting. I used to do them in a little tincture, you know, capsule, mm-hmm. little squirt with a dropper. And then I also had the little capsules. And now I'm trying their chewable gummies for the first time. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, plus 20 extra calories of sugar to help give you a little extra boost.
Yeah. Yeah. So the one that I'm trying is Rise. And yeah. Of course, what's his name? Doogie Howser. He's like the spokesperson for it. And there's advertisements all over the place. Well, let me give this a go. So I got, you know, it's 60 servings in a packet. So 30 day, I'm at least going to give it a go. I don't like the smell. The taste is fine. I mean, I don't love it. I like my cup of coffee better by far. You know, like you can have this there. You know, which one do you want tastes good? I want the coffee tastes good.
Yes.
But I'm going to give it a go, but it really doesn't smell all that pleasant to me. But it tastes fine. So I give it a go.
Okay. So just you pinch your nose when you taste it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't, but yeah.
But you should try it. Then you won't smell it.
Yeah, I won't smell it. Yeah. But like I said, the taste isn't bad. So we'll give it a go. Mm. I'll let you know. I mean, I didn't have caffeine. Well, it's got caffeine in it. I mean, I didn't have coffee this morning and I don't have a headache or anything. And I'm a pretty much 3 cups a day or 3 cups in the morning every day. I don't drink after the morning, but I do drink 3 cups during the morning. So.
All right. I've gotten back into that. I'm 2 weeks ago or so, I made the mistake of having a cup of coffee I was in the office and I had a cup at around, I started, I had a meeting at 2 o'clock and I was feeling a little bit of the afternoon slump.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the coffee. Of course, I didn't finish it until about 20 after two and completely destroyed my sleep that night.
Hosed it.
Hosed, totally. So I'm much more careful with that. I'll have one cup of caffeinated in the morning, maybe two. Mm-hmm. But you know, done with that by before noon easily.
Yeah.
So usually more like 10.
Cool. All right. I got a question for you on, you've done dieting pretty heavily. Do you do a cheat day or just one cheat meal in one day?
I have generally done cheat days when I've done those. There have been weeks when I was doing it when I ended up only having a cheat meal.
Mm-hmm.
I've never officially stayed on diets like that for any long period of time, however.
Yeah. I mean, I think generally speaking, my breakfast is practically the same every day, regardless mm-hmm. of the day of the week.
Yep.
I mean, so I either have eggs, like eggs over easy with toast, or I have toast with peanut butter on it. Or if I'm really crazy, I'll have a bagel with cream cheese. I mean, but it's one of those three meals, you know? So it's like, I don't have to worry about, I mean, I will eat waffles or things like that on very special, but I can count on one hand how many times I've had waffles this year.
Yeah. I mean, that's gotta be a special occasion day.
Right? Yeah.
And even then when I do cheat days, I try not to start the morning with that kind of day, you know, mm-hmm. start with breakfast. I try to keep, today I made an exception. So my neighbor just got back from Philadelphia and she always brings some bagels from her favorite bagel restaurant on the way there.
Mm-hmm.
Thanking me for, you know, taking care of her plants while she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did have a bagel as part of, or half a bagel as part of breakfast this morning,
mm-hmm.
but it was, it's because I'm, you know, basically I was carbo loading for my run this afternoon. Right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'll burn that off. I'm not too worried about that. So.
Yeah. Well, and I'm trying not to be a prisoner to my diet either, because like my youngest daughter brought home with Christy cookies. She brought home a box of chocolate chip cookies yesterday and she's like, "Daddy, I brought you cookies." I'm like, "So, I ate a cookie." I was like, "Thank you." You know, but normally I would eat like 3.
Right.
So, I ate a cookie.
Yep.
And it wasn't socially awkward.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is you have to turn that in though. It's like, "Okay, this has just become my cheat day."
Mm-hmm.
But then it's tricky because, you know, then when regular cheat day comes along, well, I want my cheat day again too. And, so yeah, it's a slippery slope for sure.
Yeah. Well, if my diet is so strict and it's going to screw me up by eating one chocolate chip cookie, I got a problem.
Yes. Yep. I'll buy that.
Now a 6-pack of beer during the, you know, on a Wednesday night, that's
nothing. it is funny though, because I go through phases where I swear I am more sensitive to sugar than I am alcohol.
Really?
Yeah, there definitely have been days when, you know, I'll have a beer and I feel fine, and then the next cheat day comes along and I have like, you know, a couple of chocolate chip cookies and I'm destroyed.
Yeah.
So yeah, it really depends.
Well, this is the closest I've ever come to clean eating, where I'm intentionally trying to avoid sugar, but I've not gotten to the point where I'm, like we talked about last week, I've not gotten to the point where I'm excluding ketchup. You know, that's next. I mean, things that I know have sugar in them. You know, my yep. peanut butter still has amount. It has sugar in it. You know, I'm not. Yep. I'm not there yet, but I'm eliminating the obvious sugars.
Yeah, I feel like I should know this, but can you get like an unsweetened ketchup that's just made with like tomatoes and vinegar and salt? Is that a thing? Not sugar-free ketchup, quote unquote, with artificial
sugar. Yeah, just without sugar. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that the market would be for that. I think that's called A1 sauce.
No, A1's got a lot of other stuff in it too. Yeah, no, I think that sounds more like Carolina Red, actually. Yeah. Minus the cumin and whatever else goes into that. But yeah. Mm-hmm. That said, I almost any day I would take A1 sauce over ketchup. So there's that.
Yeah. I do like ketchup. I like ketchup on a burger. I like ketchup on fries. Yeah. So close.
Yep. I like A1s to all that. I mean, when I was a kid, I substituted that all. I didn't say never, but I frequently would just, I would get the bottle of A1 and that's what I used as my favorite condiment all over the place.
Well, that's, it's a healthy liking.
Hey Siri, add A1 steak sauce to the shopping list.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I need some A1 and some Tabasco.
You know that I have. That I have plenty of. People, I saw several years ago, they started, they started branching out and you could buy A1 sauce with Tabasco in it.
Huh.
Yeah. They merged the two. I guess they're both, are they both Heinz products or whatever? They must be, but you could buy it like A1 with Tabasco in a single bottle.
I think Tabasco is its own, it's wholly own thing.
Hmm.
I don't think they're part of Heinz. They must have had a special deal.
Well, let's find out. So on Amazon, A1 spicy and spicy sauce with Tabasco. So you can buy it. It's available on Amazon. The brand. Oh, no, it's not available. It is currently out of stock, it says. So
yeah.
I wonder if that was so limited. And I'm assuming A1 is Heinz, right? I'm not sure about that. I'm just
Tabasco is made by McKinley Company.
McKinley and Company, yes.
Yeah, on yes. Avery Island in Louisiana.
Yep. And okay. So yes. And A1 is indeed Heinz. Yep. So there you go. Yeah. So that's an interesting that must Kraft must have licensed Tabasco from it too. Because it's not just like with quote unquote Tabasco peppers. They use the Tabasco logo and everything on that.
So. Mm-hmm. Must have been like, you know, like Harley and Ford. Was it Harley? Yeah, I think it was Ford. They had like a version of a truck that had Harley Davidson on it. I was like, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of schizophrenic.
Yeah. Like, I wish it was a motorcycle. Wish it was a truck.
It's both.
Yeah.
Well, on the topic of fitness and other fitness adjacent stuff, before we move on to that, I bought myself a new running vest.
All right. What does it have and do?
It's the Salomon ADV, I assume short for advance, but ADV Skin 12. And I put a link in the show notes. So I bought a couple years ago, I bought a Nathan brand vest.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the mistake of trying it on and making sure it would fit with me or fit me when I was wearing a jacket, like for winter running.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was adjustable. Well, the problem is I bought the essentially what was large to extra large. And I found out afterwards that I'm more of a medium to large.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what I would do to tighten it down, I couldn't get it to fit right. And if I did get it to fit right with full water bottles, both on the front and the back. Mm-hmm. Once I had gone a few miles and started drinking, it would become loose again. And the adjustable straps were not as adjustable as they should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided yesterday enough is enough. And I went down to the local marathon sports chain store. And after a lot of finagling and trying different models and things, found that the Salomon actually worked really well. And it's nice because it's got very, elastic band straps to tighten things. The Nathan has like lots of gears and dials all over the place that you could adjust it here and cinch it there and tweak this and tweak that. The Salomon method is just a lot simpler. It's like it yeah. just adjusts across the front of the chest as opposed to on the sides as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, this is better. Mm-hmm. So I bought it. It cost more than the Nathan, and they did cheap out. They don't include a back water bottle. It comes with two bottles up front mm-hmm. on the chest, but not one in the back. Well, fortunately, I already have like three of the ones for the back anyway. So
yeah.
It's kind of like these days when you buy a new iPhone, it doesn't come with a power adapter anymore. You know, you got to bring your own.
Mm-hmm.
But to their point, you already have one anyway. You're not saying, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, you're right. I do.
So, does it do like a camelback pack in the back?
Yeah, that's okay. what I had to bring my own. That's the okay. BYO power. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But it has, I think, just about, maybe it might have fewer pockets than the Nathan did, but the ones that it does have are larger. So mm-hmm. I can easily unzip and just throw my phone into one on one side, you know, with near the low ribs, and throw my you know, my AirPods case in the other side. Whereas with the Nathan, I had to be a lot more careful placing things in. Okay, making sure the phone's tucked in well and cinch it so it doesn't come out and bounce when I'm running.
Oh, here, yeah.
It's just more carefree, you know. So I was like, that's better, because I don't want to be thinking about this kind of crap when I'm out running. I just want to be able to run, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be taking it out on its maiden voyage after we record this show today. So
nice. Let's
know how that goes. Yeah.
So would you consider yourself a backpack or bag dude? I love a good backpack.
I have several. I have too many backpacks, and that is part of, I guess that's part of the hoarding gene that was passed on. You know, it's not quite recessive. It's been muted a little bit from what my parents passed on to me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm given a really nice backpack that's worth like, you know, $100 or more, it's like, it's hard for me to let go of it. So I have one from the 2017 Splunk conference, which has a full night of clothes and a toothbrush at my place in Vermont.
Yeah.
I have another one here from a previous job that I still use for everything, because I can comfortably fit two laptops and an iPad and all the cables and charging accessories and mm-hmm. have a lot more space and a full 36-ounce water bottle and a 18-ounce water bottle in this bag. Now, when I do that, I feel like I'm at High Rocks, you know, competing with the giant rucking, you know,
uh-huh.
it's super heavy. But I also have another one from my newer job, which has space for, you know, a laptop and accessories, but it's also a really nice one.
Yeah.
And I have another one that was a gift from a vendor. You know, so I've got way more than I need. So what I try to do is purpose built them and, mm-hmm. you know, just like stack them full of like, okay, this is everything I need. When I travel abroad, I take this big one with, you know, all the stuff. And when I'm just going back and forth to a client or to the office, I just take this one. And,
yeah. Yeah. I'm the same way. A good bag, a good purpose built bag is a weakness for me, because I've got, when I travel, I've got this Kelty, and it's got all kinds of pockets all over the place. I've got water bottles, umbrellas, I've got, you know, my Band-Aid kits, playing cards, I've got all the things that as a traveler I need, or well, I may potentially need. You know, I may or may not need, but if I get stuck in an airport, I'm like, I've got an extra pair of clothes in here. I've got toilet paper. I've got, you know, all the survival things. But then, yep. So like when I went to the Bahamas, I've got a Yeti, you know, 27 liter, you know, fully waterproof backpack. So right. I get all my junk all inside. And if it's pouring down rain there, I just lollygag right on in. My everything in my bag is dry. Get on the boat, all my stuff is dry. And, but I don't like carrying that bag all the time, because it's big, you know?
Yes. So
then and right before I went fly fishing, I went and bought this Sims chest wader, you know, so it's got pocket here. It's got two sets of pockets, and then it's got a place for your water bottle, so you could wade, and you're fly fishing, and you don't have to dig in your pockets for your tools or whatever. They're just right here on your chest. And you know, it's like, and of course I've got my Camelback for hiking. When I go, if I'm going to go hike, we hike mountains here, you know, like up to Mount LeConte or whatever. And, mm-hmm. you know, I can get my pistol in there as well as everything I need plus water. And yep. I can tarp my, my waterproof jacket on top of that. And but I'm light, I'm completely light, kind of like the your running vest, but like for hiking, it's really small, you know. So now I've got a closet full of backpacks now.
You need your backpack closet.
Yeah. Well, and then like when I go to Mexico, I don't want my big Kelty for my day to day, but I have to have a bag for day to day stuff. So right. I carry a backpack with me for my day to day stuff. It's ridiculous.
Yep. Everyone to each their own.
I guess it's the male equivalent of a purse.
Pretty much. Mega sized perks.
Yeah. So what else is happening?
Well, let's see. We already touched on running. I'll probably go into this more detail on the next episode of Friends with Brews, but I did just throw iOS beta 26 onto my second iPhone.
Okay.
So far so good. It's working fine. No, I've knock on wood, haven't noticed any problems. I've definitely noticed problems, usability issues, etc. on iPad OS in the latest beta. Mm-hmm. But you know, trying out some of the new features and they're pretty cool. On iPad OS, the multitasking is definitely better. I like that. So far I'm mostly just seeing like UI enhancements, you know, the new liquid glass on the iPad. Mm-hmm. On the iPhone, and they've changed the, AirPlay interface a little bit. So it seems a little bit cleaner. And also knock on wood, it's really early. I've only had it on for like an hour, but it seemed a little more reliable. So if that holds out, that would be a win. You know, mm-hmm. like I have long been a proponent of just like service packs or bug fixes, you know, even like Mac OS, was it, I think it was 10.6, which, you know, Snow Leopard, which was really just Leopard with a bunch of bug fixes and I think like one new feature or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, it's okay to do that, guys. You know, you don't even need to make a big release out of it. Just
patch it.
Freaking bugs. Just fix crap. So, but no, people don't want to pay for bug fixes. I'm like, no, but maybe they would pay for stuff that doesn't suck to begin with.
If it is a patch or a fix, a bug fix, I mean, isn't that really shouldn't they do that anyway? Isn't that the right thing to do?
Yeah, but tell that to private equity and, you know, these are just in to make a buck. Like, well, you know, what are we going to do? They're like, well, we'll get new business if we have new features. You know? So, okay. All right. Whatever.
We're probably not wrong, but still.
Yeah. brother. Yeah. So what else is new?
We talked about, what was the Netflix show that we talked about? Oh, Andor.
Yes. Oh, that's Disney.
Yeah, you're right. That's Disney. So we talked about Andor. You and I talked offline about Andor. It kind of was a slow start, but it had to, because it's a political, this series is very political and it's very intricate and you got to pay attention. And we've had to watch the recap every time just to make sure that we're not missing the subtleties.
Yes.
and so it's getting really good. We're on episode, we just finished episode 9 and there's 12. So mm-hmm. You're
way ahead of me.
Yeah. Or we just finished 8 because we've got 3 left. So 9. So 10, 11, 12, to finish. And it's gotten really good. You know, what I like is, when you get the ghosts of, you know, Star Wars coming, you know, like when the music starts slightly hinting at like, dun, 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 dun.
You mean the yeah. Luke Skywalker theme?
Yeah. Well, there's so much Star Wars music, but yeah, you start getting hints of it. So yeah, it's a good, it's going well. I think I like the first series. I like what I like about him is he's just action driven. You know, mm-hmm. you tell him to do something, he's got a mission, he's going to do it, and it's cold and it's done.
Kind of like James Bond.
Yeah.
I've been listening to Diamonds Are Forever, mm-hmm. Reading that on the audiobook. So, doing that. So I've been using my library, membership to go through all the James Bond novels. So this is the fourth one right now. So it's good. You know, I'm like, they are very different from the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that, it definitely is, feels like a product of the 60s, very racist, sexist, stereotypical, but still somewhat enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, so is he in the movies? He plays, he's like, oh, what I do for England, when he seduces a woman, it's like he's sad and he's also like, oh, this is terrible. is he like that in the book, or is it more just cold?
He definitely, as they read it, that he definitely shows attraction to these women and immediately feels like, oh yeah, immediately he noticed the curve of her yada yada and how the blouse hung loosely over such and such. But I think what's funny though is what I notice more is the author spends a lot of time describing the meals that he has and the lavish hotels and resorts that he's in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting. He spends more time on that, stuff like that than a lot of like the combat and stuff. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to be a good spy. I just, it's not like what we see on TV, it's not like James Bond where the bad guy's clearly evil and, where
easy to tell.
Yeah. It's, it's finding people who are like peers and then befriending them and appearing to be their friend and talking, essentially lying a lot of lying, not just, hey, I need to get this secret from Peter. No, first step one is I have to become Peter's friend and get him to trust me. Well, yep. I just couldn't do that to a person. And then at some point the betrayal is going to occur, and whether it happens in your face or you realize it later, I don't think I could just face that person and betray them.
Yeah. And I always get a kick out of that too, because like the first thing, half the time Bond shows up, the bad guys know who he is.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude, you didn't even think about concealing your identity or anything. Just like, yo, I'm James Bond. They're like, oh wow, an assassin. What could he be doing here?
Yeah. He's not even wearing a mustache.
So yeah. I always get a kick out of that. I think that's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, I've always thought that was interesting. I mean, I even thought that as a kid. Like, you're a secret spy. There's a secret spy named James Bond, and you tell people, my name is James Bond. Oh,
huh.
Why wouldn't you pretend to be Peter Nicolaitis?
Smith? Maybe we're missing something, obviously. I mean, we're not spies. Obviously,
you don't think I'm a spy. I mean, this is a really long game.
Could be. I mean, 13 years, it's impressive, but
yeah.
Whew, wow, I didn't think I was worth that investment.
Yeah, you don't know the secrets. You don't even know what you don't know.
Yeah, that's called an unknown unknown. Oh boy.
All right.
So, got any plans for the coming week?
Upcoming week is you know, I'm planning on being in Mexico, mm-hmm. visiting with our church down there and spending time. We're going to do a VBS. So that'll be fun.
You're writing Visual Basic script?
Visual Basic script. It's, you know, that's where we're teaching the children. No, vacation Bible school. And then we're going to do some construction there. And I have the glorious task of building an outhouse.
Okay. Well, someone's got to do that too.
But yeah, so it's rural in the mountains. We're kind of concerned right now about the rain. When I looked at the hurricane map yesterday on the Atlantic side, it's perfectly clear. On the Pacific side, there's a hurricane running right up along there. You know, it's not over Mexico, it's over the ocean. But as mm-hmm. you know, those clouds swirl out from there.
They move.
Yeah.
They don't just stay there on that one side that they're on. Yeah.
No, they don't. They don't just rain in their little border. They rain all over the place. So, So that'll be fun, but we'll get wet. We're getting a little bit wet here right now. I don't know if you can hear the thunder.
No, your noise suppression seems to be suppressing that noise.
Perfect. Yeah. So that's what I've got ahead of me. So some world traveling, and we'll be back. It's a short trip. It's only 10 days. So back okay. before I know it.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I'll be up in Vermont for the weekend, the July 4th weekend anyway, next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And probably take an extra day or so there. That'll be fun. Just hanging out at the place, even though it's not complete yet. It's nice being out, you know, out closer to nature.
Yeah.
For a while. And then talking with my real estate agent. So I've listed I have new tenants, or my existing tenants will be moving out of my rental come August. And I'll be relisting that, or have already relisted that, looking for new tenants. That's right. I've got an open house this weekend. I totally forgot about that. So there's that. But then I'm toying with the idea of doing a short-term rental of my main residence for maybe a few months, doing like a three-month term or something, like a travel nurse or some other situation, leaving it furnished and considering heading south of the border for a little while myself.
We still need to get you into fishing so that we could fish together.
Yeah, that's going to take some time, but okay. You know, we can talk about that. So,
fly fishing. It's gentleman's fishing.
This has to be a cheat day, and I can just sit on the boat and drink beer with you. So yeah. Anyway, as we have been discussing, I'm, you know, seriously looking at Belize right now. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally, Belize was in the top 10 of some dude's YouTube, you know, travel channel,
mm-hmm.
of top 10 places to for expats to retire to.
Yeah.
Along with a lot of usual suspects, you know, Costa Rica, Thailand, I think was number one. Uruguay, you don't hear that name as much, but apparently very stable, very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was actually higher on the list than Belize was.
What about Ecuador?
I don't remember. I'm trying to think. Portugal, I'm pretty sure, was on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And again, now these are retirement targets, right?
Yeah.
So, but I figured, you know, well, if you can. And the main reason is because most of these countries all have special benefits for Americans on fixed incomes.
Yeah.
But I figured, well, hell, if they can afford it, then me with an income can probably afford it. And, you know, and not a lot of it was like, you know, it's like, oh, and if you're 65 and older, you get, you know, free lunches or anything like that. But it was, mm-hmm. I was like, well, if I can, if those benefits, you know, if those things that appeal to retirees will probably appeal to me too. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, it's like, yeah, the population is all over 70. Well, okay. Maybe not.
Yeah. So, anyway. It's not, there's plenty of, younger tourists there. Yeah. Well, so what Belize does is if you are a retiree and you want to be an expat there, mm-hmm. that you can do this one time and only once. You can bring a huge number of things into the country that normally mm-hmm. you would be taxed heavily on. You can yep. bring a car, you can bring a boat, you can bring all these big ticket items with you to Belize, to your house. And of course it has to stay there. It can't,
right.
It can't leave.
You're moving to it. You're repatriating or yeah. not that you're immigrating. Yeah.
Yeah. You're immigrating. But otherwise, you would have to pay huge taxes on those.
Right.
And so like if you were to bring a boat in, if you brought in you got a $30,000 boat, it's almost like $15,000 in taxes to bring that yeah. boat in, or not more. Yep. You get to buy your boat all over again, where right. they let you bring it in for tax free, which is pretty cool.
I mean, at that point, doesn't it make sense to, you know, sell your boat here and buy a new one down there?
If you couldn't do that. Well, Americans, I don't know if you know this, but we can be stiff-necked and opinionated about what we want. I don't know if you know that.
I had no idea.
No idea. So the boat that you have in the United States, you very well may not be able to find it in Belize the way that you want it. Now, Belize has come a long way. Americans decide what type of boat they like. They don't consider the type of waters that they're going to be in. So certain boats are better for certain waters. And one of them in Belize, the most common boat there in a lot of tropical areas as well, is a panga. So a panga is a V-hull boat. And it's those ones at the front of the boat. It's got like this big hole, you know, open section if you see them without it. But it's got a big front end that cuts through the water. And it's really good for getting through waves because Belize is on the reef. So it's a barrier reef. So that means that the waves can get pretty big along the barrier reef. So you need a boat that'll cut through. So if you got a really shallow hull, you're going up in the air, bang down, up in the air, bang down. Where with that panga, you cut right through it. So some people are like, well, I don't want a stinking panga. I want my whatever type of boat. Well, pangas are what they have, and they're a very efficient boat. I mean, you adjust to the environment. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't see myself buying a panga anytime soon, but you never know.
You might fall in love with it.
I may become an opinionated American when it comes to boats.
Yeah. So you may get down there and decide, hey, I would like to ride in a boat. Before you know it, I want to own a boat.
I want my own boat. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I would like to drink a beer. I would brew my own beer like that.
Yeah. Kind of like that.
Okay, cool. Make sure I understand how these things work.
Yeah. And Belican beer is the local beer.
Belican.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Made right there beside the airport. When you get to the airport, you can see the Belican. I don't know if it's made there, if that's just a distribution point.
Okay. All right. Cool. Good to know. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll obviously stay tuned to this channel for updates on that. And on that note, should we talk about wrapping it up? I don't know about you. I do have another call yep. for work coming up next. So
I do as well.
Well, listener, if you want to find us, you already know how to, but I'll tell you again, we're at blurringthelinespodcast.com. You can find Adam at rrlavenderfarm.com and remind me of your socials.
It is 123456789.
Wait, that's your password?
That's my. Oh, I thought you wanted my social security number.
No, social media.
Oh, I don't have any. Okay. I just have the rrlavenderfarm.com.
He's just at rrlavenderfarm.com. I mean, if you know Adam, you can probably find him on Facebook and LinkedIn and those other boring things, right?
Yeah.
And if you want to find me, it's at pn72.com. That's the easiest way to find me. But seriously, blurringthelinespodcast.com. You've got links to all of us. You've got links to all the shows. You can see the video version of this on YouTube. We've got years of episodes, 250 some odd, and in fact, of archives, and links to where to find us. And you can send us feedback. We're not getting a ton of that these days. We're getting a lot of spam.
A lot of spam.
That much we get. But if you want to send us some real feedback, ideas for the show, or hey.
To contact either us or our guests, visit blurringthelinespodcast.com. If you like what you're hearing, do us a solid and subscribe to our podcast, and leave us a 5-star review in iTunes, Google Play Store, or wherever you found us.